Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, April 11th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Broadway Radio. We've got lots of exciting things planned, so follow now and don't miss out. Okay, James, plug over. Get to the news.
So Bernadette Peters is receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award, isn't she?
She is at the 72nd Annual Theater World Awards, hosted, as always, by Broadway Radio's own Peter Felicia. The three-time Tony winner and 1968 Theater World Award recipient, Bernadette Peters, will be honored with the fourth annual John Willis Award. The John Willis Award is given for lifetime achievement in the theater and is named after the man who created and maintained the Theater World Awards for 66 years. The Theater World Awards will take place on Monday, May 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Circle in the Square Theater. The other honorees, 2016 honorees for outstanding performance in a Broadway or off-Broadway production, and the 8th annual Dorothy Loudon Award for Excellence in Theater will be announced shortly.
All right, what's coming up in the calendar this week?
Well, we're getting quite a few off-Broadway openings and one Broadway opening as well. First, tomorrow, Exit Strategy by Ike Holter and directed by Kip Fagan opens at the Cherry Lane Theater, produced by Primary Stages. The show is described as a fiery, riveting work about the chaotic final days of an urban public high school. It is a taut, edge-of-your-seat drama about the future of public education from a vital new voice in American playwriting. Exit Strategy runs through May 6th. Then on Wednesday, the Classic Stage Company opens Nathan the Wise, starring F. Murray Abraham and Stark Sands. The show runs through May 1st and is set in Jerusalem in 1192, where Muslims, Christians, and Jews live side by side thanks to a fragile truce that could collapse at any moment. Nathan the Wise is directed by Brian Kulik, and Edward Kemp adapted the original play by Gottfried Ephraim Lessing. Then on Thursday, off-Broadway, One Funny Mother opens at New World Stages, a one-woman show from comedian Dina Blizzard. The tagline for the show is, "Have you ever gone unshowered for days, fought with your husband over who works harder, and had a kid pee on you?" I can say no, I have not.
Yes.
James, I thankfully do not have children, but is that a fair representation of what parenting is in your house?
Absolutely. I think that's a common denominator among anybody with children.
That is why I will never have children. Ironically, opening that same night at the Friedman Theater on Broadway is the Manhattan Theater Club's production of The Father, starring the legendary Frank Langella and Catherine Irby. Directed by Doug Hughes, Christopher Hampton has translated Florian Zeller's play from the original French, and the play tells the story of an 80-year-old former tap dancer who now lives with his daughter and her husband. Or was he an engineer? The problem is that Langella's character, Andre, begins to think that he might be losing control of his mind and his memories. Obviously, we'll have all the reviews for you on Friday morning, but it is interesting to note that a West End production of the show, directed by James McDonald, was nominated for 3 Oliviers, winning Best Actor for Kenneth Cranham's performance as Andre last week.
All right. Twyla Tharp, what's going on?
Well, the legendary choreographer will debut her latest piece this summer as part of her company's season at the Joyce Theater. While the piece is still untitled, it is to be set to a late Beethoven quartet. James, are you enough of a Beethoven savant to know exactly what that quartet might be?
No. Unless it was part of Hooked on Classics, I don't know Beethoven, I don't think.
Okay. Tharp will also be bringing back repertory works, country dances, in Brahms Paganini as part of this season, which will run from July 11th through 23rd. Tharp, of course, won a Best Choreography Tony for 2003's Billy Joel Dance Review, Moving Out.
All right. And casting news, what's happening there?
Well, tonight begins the reign of a new king over at the Richard Rogers Theater as Jonathan Groff abdicates the throne to Tony nominee Rory O'Malley, who will take over as King George III, the Fourth in Hamilton. Groff is leaving the production to begin work on David Fincher's new Netflix series, Mindhunter. In other King George news, Groff announced or let slip on NBC's The Tonight Show last week that host Jimmy Fallon would be singing You'll Be Back on the upcoming Hamilton mixtape, which is being produced by Questlove, who is the leader of the legendary Grammy-winning Roots crew, which is also Fallon's house band, so some nice symmetry there. There's also a really funny clip that where Groff continued a tradition that the original King George, Brian D'Arcy James, began, where he passed on a sequined garter to Fallon to bring him into the role. Have you not seen that, James?
No.
It's pretty funny. Fallon seems normally on these talk shows they prep everything and they go through everything and there's nothing that's really a surprise.
Yeah.
But Fallon seems genuinely uncomfortable by it. I don't know, like he was a little surprised. So We'll see. It's a funny clip, so you should definitely check that one out. And finally, in our kind of haphazard Hamilton section, it appears that Democratic presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders has joined the 1% of theater fans and got a House seat to Hamilton. On Friday night, after a long day of campaigning in advance of New York's important April 19th primary, Sanders and his wife Jane scored a pair of House seats for just $167 apiece. The Vermont senator posed for pictures with fans and went backstage after the show to meet the cast. James, your primary is coming up, like we said, on April 19th. Does a candidate's theater-going habits impact how you vote?
Absolutely. If they go see the shows that I go see, I feel more akin to them. Unless I really don't like them, then I won't vote for them.
So it only matters if you're already inclined to vote for them anyway.
You ever see that Seinfeld episode where Jimmy, the guy, talks about himself in the third person?
You can stop there, because once you say, have you seen that Seinfeld episode, for me, the answer is no.
Really?
It was a little before my time.
But you're a pop culture fan.
Yeah, but I was in high school when the show was over, so the premise of people living in New York City and dealing with life didn't really appeal to me as a high school and middle school student, so I never got into it.
Throw your youth in front of me. You know who's younger than us?
Ariana Grande?
Oh, man, you stole my lead. take it.
Sorry. Well, as long as we don't get another appearance of Madge, I'll do it every time.
Oh, Madge, I love you.
Last night on MTV's Movie Awards, former Broadway baby Ariana Grande sang.
Former?
Well.
We want her to come back. But well, she's too big now. She'll never come back.
No, I think she'll come back eventually. I know we're going off script here, but she's kind of known for doing these impressions of other singers. She does Celine Dion, Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. But there's video of her online of her doing an incredible Carolee Carmello. So if that shows you how big of a theater fan she is, like, Carolee Carmello is not just an impression somebody picks up.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty specific impression she does. But speaking of Carolee Carmello, this plays nicely into the story. At the MTV Movie Awards last night, it was actually taped on Saturday, but she did a old Hollywood inspired version of her hit song Dangerous Woman with none other than 3-time Tony winner Jason Robert Brown on the piano, who wrote Parade, which of course starred Carolee Carmello. Grande made her Broadway debut in JRB's 13 in 2008 and has stayed friends with the composer ever since. Last fall, she made a surprise appearance at his cabaret performance in LA and sang a few songs, including a duet of Brown's Brand New You with Shoshana Bean. As I said, the performance was taped on Saturday night and airs on Sunday night, so it hasn't really been broadcast by the time we were recording this, but little snippets have been floating around the internet, so I'm sure by the time this episode is released, you'll be able to find it on just about every theater website and watch the full video there.
So Jason has been chronicling his trip out to the West Coast to do this performance, and it's very, very funny if you follow him on Facebook or Twitter that you can see all these things happening up. So let's do some follow-ups to last week's story.
Yeah, last week we talked about the star-studded one-night-only concert of Disney's The Little Mermaid that'll be taking place at the Hollywood Bowl this summer. Well, now it's a star-studded two-night-only concert, as the overwhelming demand for tickets necessitated a second performance. The concert will now be held on both Friday, June 3rd, and Saturday, June 4th. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that tickets went on sale just on Saturday, the Hollywood Bowl, which holds over 17,500 people, is pretty much sold out for both nights. I went on before we started recording to see how many seats were left, and it's in the dozens. So if you want to get tickets, I would advise pausing this podcast, going and trying to get tickets, and then coming back to finish it up. The concert will star Waitress-composer Sarah Bareilles as Ariel, Pitch Perfect star Rebel Wilson as Ursula, Norm Lewis and Titus Burgess will be recreating their roles from the original Broadway production of the musical as King Triton and Sebastian, and Darren Criss and John Stamos will play Prince Eric and Chef Louis, respectively. James, last week we talked about how unusual it is for a show or for a show's composer that's surely going to be nominated for every major award to kind of head out of town in the middle of award season. It made me wonder if the Hollywood Bowl would like to add more performances, if Bareilles would even be available to make that commitment.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that. And in fact, when we talked about this last week, I was going to ask you, and I never did, is this a fundraiser or something for the Hollywood Bowl? Or it seems like very fundraiser-ish, but I've not seen any words that say this is a raising money for X.
I agree with you. It does seem like it would be a fundraiser type thing. But as far as I know, it is not benefiting any specific charity or the Hollywood Bowl itself. So it very much seems just like a nice fancy concert with a bunch of Hollywood people.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what's next?
All right, on Friday, I bid a completely sincere and heartfelt farewell to American Idol. Yes. And when naming former contestants to make their to appear on Broadway after the show, I somehow forgot the incredible Jordan Sparks, who played Nina in Broadway's In the Heights, so I apologize for that. But then also, on the series finale, nearly every notable former Idol showed up to perform in one way or another, with one notable exception, and that is Adam Lambert. And immediately, conspiracy theorists started throwing around explanations online, but as he told Billboard the next day, the reason was pretty simple. He was in Toronto filming Fox's upcoming TV adaptation of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Lambert will be playing Eddie. The role originated on Broadway and in the film by Meatloaf. Lambert said if he wasn't working, he definitely would have been there for the finale. And he did appear on the show in mid-March to perform his new single, Welcome to the Show. So Lambert, who hasn't been in the theater since Idol, was originally a musical theater performer, being an understudy and ensemble member for the Wicked tour, especially out on the West Coast. So he still has theater connections, even if I didn't mention him in the eulogy as well.
He was somebody who was mentioned for Hedwig back when they were looking for new Hedwigs, and he kind of
poo-pooed it a little bit.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Get out of my head, Matt Tamanini.
Well, you know, he's gone from being, like I said, a musical theater performer to having this Idol experience, and to now, I wouldn't say that he's the most successful former Idol. Obviously, with people like Carrie Underwood and I was going to go with Kelly Clarkson, but he tours with Queen and sings the Freddie Mercury parts in Queen. He does a lot of touring and he's very popular as a pop artist. And so I would imagine that any Broadway engagement would be tough just with his, you know, major touring responsibilities, both for his own albums and with Queen. So I would imagine if he does ever come back to Broadway, which I think he will, it would have to be a pretty significant role and not just replacing somebody else in an already running show.
You know, they say sell umbrellas while it's raining.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I think it's take the offers when you get them and don't put things off till later. But you're right. He's got enough rain going on between his own stuff and stuff with Queen. So I think he's got plenty of umbrellas up in the air now.
Hey, have you heard about this cats protest that's coming up?
I did, and leave it to my friend Andrew Bredis, otherwise known as Annoying Actor Friend, to kind of get to the bottom of it. He is, as he said, he is not the originator of it, but he posted an article on his blog, annoyingactorfriend.com, where he kind of went through the internet and searched and figured out where the pictures came from. He was not able to figure out who posted the flyer originally, but the flyer basically says, "Stop the return of the musical Cats, Wednesday, May 4th, 5 p.m., protest march, Maria Hernandez Park." And then there's a long thing about how Cats is a scourge to the Broadway community. And then it ends with email, "Please, Lord, stop Cats at gmail.com for more information." Well, Andrew, Annoying Actor Friend, being the guy that he is, he sent an email but realized that that was not a real email address. There was no one on the other end that had actually registered, "Please, Lord, stop cats at gmail.com. So what does he do? Being the master satirist that he is, he registered the email address, and he is now the proud owner of "Please, Lord, stop cats at gmail.com.
Love that.
Yeah, so he posted some of the some of the responses that the email address got. They're great. Everything from people who hate cats to people who love cats to people who sent pictures of themselves dressed as cats. I've never seen cats. I don't have any intention to ever see cats. I am deathly allergic to the animal cats. But it seems like this is a show that gets people very animated on one side or the other. So leave it to Annoying Actor Friend to kind of ride that wave for all of the hilarity possible.
Well, I really hope that somebody does actually have this protest, and they during this protest march, somebody sits on a tire and they carry them through the whole thing, because that would be brills, totally now, brill.
Now, James, you shared this before we started recording, and you can edit this out if you don't want to mention it, but you are a little suspicious of this, aren't you?
I am very suspicious of this, because this flyer that's out there it is so well done. I bet you this is a guerrilla marketing for cats.
That seems so. I know what you're saying, but knowing how the Broadway advertising community works, the producers have to sign off on everything. So to have one of the major advertising houses go to Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron McIntosh and say, hey, we want to put up a random flyer in Brooklyn saying there's a protest to stop cats, that doesn't seem like something that they would, you know, sign off on.
I understand what you're saying, but you got to do what you got to do to get back on the front pages of a New York City newspaper. And I think the flyer is... is well put together. It's really well written. It's printed in color. It's very well designed. This is not something that I wouldn't be surprised if this was some sort of guerrilla marketing effort to get cats back out in the news. And if so,
bravo. But that's funny. Yeah. We may never know if that's really happening, but that's a great theory. And I really want that to be the case.
So check out annoyingactorfriend.com where you can see the flyer and some of the responses. And it's a link to actor on Twitter, actor_friend, where you can read the funniest stuff that happens there. Annoying Actor Friend, we love you. We love you. Get us out of here, Matt.
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow Broadway Radio on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find me at BWW Matt. And please subscribe to my pop culture podcast, Some Like It Pop, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino at BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. We will talk to you tomorrow.